48 Hours presents.
Everybody kind of likes to date a bad boy. Everybody does at some point in time in their life. He was so mysterious and nobody knew anything about him, and I think that we really wanted to know. Shelly is my friend. She's my best friend. None of this makes any sense. She was a loving person, an amazing mother. For her just to be gone, to vanish, it's not like her.
So there were a lot of secrets in that house.
A lot of secrets.
Were you scared for her?
Definitely. We all were scared for her.
What we're dealing with here is the case of a missing woman. My name is Kevin Keel. I've been working this case for over 5 years. Shelly Mook went missing back on February 28th, 2011. She just up and vanished. A beautiful young woman. She was 24 years old. She was a school teacher here in Tennessee.
This is 911. Do you have an emergency?
Hello?
You think this is just one more piece to the overlying mysterious puzzle?
Correct.
When was this 911 call taken?
2012. He inadvertently dialed 911.
Who inadvertently dialed?
Tyler, Shelly's ex-husband.
How does this happen?
He must have had some phone similar to this iPhone. You stick it in your back pocket. If you lean against something, you're going to press the button.
So he butt dialed.
He butt dialed.
Oh, they got people seeing me leave that night. Oh, they seen Shelly's car going down the road that night.
No one knows where she is or exactly what happened to her. But I'm pretty damn sure I know who did it.
Splash it off with a little gasoline.
Back when all this happened, I remember hearing the story about the car being found out in the field that had been burnt.
As these firefighters practice knocking down a car fire, they remember another night back in 2011. It was 12:30 in the morning and in an empty farm field outside of town. A car went up in flames.
Normally, people wouldn't think it was a big deal, but this is something that we deal with quite often. A lot of times, people will steal a car, go joyriding, and then when they get through with it, they'll take it out in the country somewhere and set it on fire and burn it, and then walk off and leave it. Just another car.
But it wasn't just another car. It would turn out to be a clue. A clue that could lead to a murderer.
Here in central Tennessee, 20 miles down the road from that mysterious car fire, something else strange happened at a middle school here in Shelbyville. An eighth grade teacher named Shelly Mook never showed up for class.
This is not something that you ever expect to happen in your life, to have somebody that goes missing.
What do you think happened to her?
It's really hard to say. I mean, not having found very much evidence, or, I mean, there's so many possibilities.
Brittany Brooks grew up with Shelly Mook.
She had these amazing eyes, beautiful smile. We always called it the million-dollar smile.
After Shelly's divorce in 2009, they became even closer.
Were you her lifeline outside of the marriage?
I think part me and part her mother and her family. Neither one of us had sisters, and it was kind of the sisterhood.
Shelly also loved her daughter, six-year-old Liliana. They called her Lily.
Shelly would never abandon her daughter. She would never left her without saying goodbye or kissing her goodbye. And she did that day.
That day was Monday, February 28th, 2011. And just one person would tell police what happened in the house that afternoon.
That was Shelly's ex-husband, the father of their daughter. They've been divorced a couple of years. He lived right here. Shelly's ex-husband was a man by the name of Tyler Mook.
Tyler's very smooth. He had this mysterious, dark way about him. He was definitely more than just a bad boy.
Brittany and Shelly met Tyler back in high school.
Shelly and I were like, oh, you know, take a look at who just walked in. We don't know him, but we want to know him.
All that happened in Pennsylvania, where Shelly and Brittany grew up. Tyler was a bit older. He liked engines and cars, and he liked girls.
Were you there when Shelly walked over to him?
We met him at a party one night, and her and I just kind of made bets to see who could end up going out with the cute guy that we don't know.
So he was intrigued.
Yes.
She was intrigued.
Uh-huh. It was definitely a few months, and that was it. She was hooked, and he was hooked.
After high school, Shelly and Tyler got married. They had their daughter and moved down here to Central Tennessee. To be closer to Tyler's family, everyone said family was important to Tyler Mook.
Did you ever feel that he loved her?
Absolutely.
She loved him.
She did. She did.
In the beginning, was the marriage, was it a good one?
When it was good, it was really, really good. When it was bad, it was really bad. There was no happy medium.
There were some problems at home, like allegations of cheating.
Everybody has their troubles, but it seemed like he genuinely loved her.
The couple had an on-again, off-again relationship, and when they finally divorced in 2009, Tyler kept trying to get back with her.
Listen to this. This is a letter he wrote to Shelly. Shelly, my love, congrats on your first full day of teaching. My love for you grows like a wildfire. I'm polishing myself for you. He also tells her he's going to take her for a Caribbean cruise and then says, I love you with all of my heart. I don't want anybody else but you.
That cruise never happened, and the couple didn't reconcile. Tyler and Shelly each went on to date other people and shared custody of their daughter, Lily. Until Shelly disappeared.
Let's talk about that day.
That particular day, she taught school. Picked up Liliana after school and picked up a box of Tyler's belongings that she had found.
Kevin Keel is a former cop. Now he's a legal investigator. He worked the case for Shelley's family for several years and is now consulting for CBS.
We know Shelley arrived at Tyler's with Liliana in a car seat. By all accounts, we know Shelley was upset when she went into Tyler's residence.
What exactly happened after that is a mystery. The next day, when she didn't show up for work, her mom called police. But it took a while for an investigation to get going. And there wasn't much to go on.
I wouldn't say no evidence. There's no direct evidence. There is circumstantial evidence.
Remember that burning car, the one that firefighters rushed to in the middle of the night? That happened right here, in this field. And it wasn't long before police discovered who owned that car. It belonged to Shelley.
It was arson. They had burnt the car intentionally. Most likely it was to get rid of fingerprints or any kind of evidence that they might have left behind.
And if covering up a crime was the goal of the arsonist, it apparently worked. There was no body in the car, no keys, and no clues. Shelley was gone. The last person to see her was her ex-husband, and he was not being very cooperative.
On February 28th, did Shelley come to your residence with Lily?
On advice of counsel, I respectfully declined to answer on the grounds of the Fifth Amendment.
When did you learn that Shelley was missing?
It wasn't till Wednesday after she went missing, I got a phone call.
Where did your mind immediately go?
It immediately went to Tyler.
Tyler Mook. He was the last person known to be seen with Shelley. And he wasn't being very cooperative. He wasn't even helping with the search.
You have to wonder, if you're not guilty, why are you not out searching with us? Why are you not helping us?
He never helped?
No, not at all.
You'd think the police would have been all over him.
How did they handle this case, as far as you're concerned?
I feel that they dropped the ball in the beginning. It seemed like they thought that she possibly left on her own, and they didn't take our feelings seriously, our feelings of knowing that this was much more than they knew.
How did the police first proceed with this? Did they look at Tyler right away?
I can't speak to what they did initially because that was before I became involved. I do know they were at his house searching with a mobile crime lab 3 days after she disappeared.
3 days seems like a long time, but local authorities are not commenting, so we don't know what happened.
How frustrated are you that there hasn't been an arrest in this case?
I am frustrated. To my knowledge, Tyler has not been interviewed about this case in depth at all.
He hasn't been interviewed by the police?
To my knowledge, he has not.
Tyler may not have been grilled by police, but Shelley's family, fearing his involvement in her disappearance, took him directly to court.
Would you raise your right?
Family court.
Solemnly swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
With Shelley gone, someone had to take care of Lily, and that was up to a judge. Shelley's family tried to use the custody case to get some answers about what happened to Shelley.
What did you tell Lily about her mother's disappearance?
But when Tyler was deposed, he was not forthcoming.
On advice of counsel, I respectfully decline to answer the grounds of the Fifth Amendment.
So this is the testimony he gave during that deposition?
Yes.
On February 28th, did Shelley come to your residence with Lily?
On advice of counsel, I respectfully decline to answer on the grounds of the Fifth Amendment.
In the deposition, he asserted his Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination
counsel,
140, 150 times plus.
Is that normal?
Not if you're innocent.
Did you have sex with Shelley on February 28th?
Yes.
What time?
On advice of counsel, I respectfully decline to answer on the grounds of the Fifth Amendment.
So he refuses to answer that she came over to his house, that she came into his house, but he doesn't have a problem answering, I had sex with her?
Correct. For whatever reason, he chose to answer that question during the deposition while refusing to answer numerous other questions.
We do have a transcript from another hearing in the custody case. Tyler Mook was more forthcoming in this one. He says that Shelley came over that afternoon and that they spent over an hour talking about problems in her life. Tyler said she broke down crying over a boyfriend who may have been cheating on her. Then Tyler claims they made love while their daughter Lily was in another room. Finally, Tyler says Shelley left to do some errands, leaving Lily and promising to be back before 10 p.m.
He says she never came back, and he spent the entire evening with Lily. Tyler says he texted and called Shelley, but only got one mysterious text message back from her around 7 p.m. It said, "I will, babe."
But there's one other account of that afternoon. It comes from Shelley and Tyler's 6-year-old daughter, Lily. A child specialist interviewed Lily. What did Lily tell her?
On the day her mother went missing, she and her mother went to Tyler's house. Her mother got out of the car. She stayed in the car. Shelley went to the door, appeared upset, went inside, and that was the last time she saw her mother.
She never saw her mother inside the house?
That's correct. She was taken in the front door and placed in her bedroom with the door closed, with instructions not to come out.
It seems that only Tyler Mook knows exactly what happened in that house that afternoon. But during the custody hearings, more allegations about Tyler Mook's behavior before Shelley disappeared came out, and it didn't look good. Court documents say numerous witnesses testified to the father's history of illegal drug use, drug trafficking, violent behavior, and verbal and physical abuse towards mother.
The red flag would have been probably the emotional abuse, the verbal abuse.
Such as?
Just telling her that nobody would ever want her or she wasn't pretty enough.
Would he do this in front of you?
He would do it in front of me, other family members. The physical abuse, he would grab her by the wrist. He'd, push her against the wall.
Were you scared for her?
Definitely. We all were scared for her.
In the child custody case, the court ruled in favor of Shelley's family. Her mother got primary custody of Lily and moved her hundreds of miles away. A year passed. As Tyler and his family stewed about the court decision, the authorities seemed no closer to making an arrest in Shelley's disappearance. Then, something really strange happened.
911, what's the address of your emergency?
911 gets a call. For lack of a better word, the caller had butt-dialed 911. He apparently did not know the 911 operator was listening to him and recording the call for 22 minutes. The caller was Tyler Mook.
You can't take somebody's kid away from them for the next 13 years. That's something that I've never been charged with and something that somebody said.
The call is very difficult to hear, but listen. Mook seems to be talking about that night, the night Shelley vanished and her car was burned.
Oh, they already got a bunch of people lined up. Oh, they got people seeing me leave that night. Oh, they seen Shelley's car going down the road that night. Oh, somebody seen me walking down the road in the middle of the night.
He was in the garage with his father. They evidently were working with some power tools. probably had the phone in his back pocket and inadvertently leaned back and dialed 911 without meaning to.
What was he worried about the car for?
I think he was worried that there may be some evidence linking him to Shelley's vehicle that was found burning around 12:30 a.m. on March 1st.
At the end of the phone call, Tyler suddenly realizes he must have accidentally called 911.
This is Robin. May I help you?
Yes, I was curious if my phone dialed 911. I looked down and it said it was on emergency call for the last 20 minutes.
Okay. Yes, we had received a call from your phone. From
Tyler's lawyer at the time told local media the whole 911 call meant nothing. It was simply Tyler Mook talking about his painful custody battle.
What does this 911 call say to you?
In a nutshell, it proves nothing. But it certainly, when combined with all the other circumstantial evidence, would lead you to believe that he, you know, has some culpability.
What do you think his motive was?
Tyler seems to be the type of person that would have the mindset, if I can't have her, no one can. I think he just snapped after learning that his ex-wife had spent the night with her boyfriend that previous night.
Authorities have not commented about the 911 call, and Tyler Mook has never publicly spoken about the case.
And what is the truth?
My personal belief is that Tyler was involved and has knowledge of Shelley's disappearance, the burning of her vehicle, and I believe he has knowledge of where she is now, where her body may be.
But years passed, and there was nothing. In spite of all the circumstantial evidence, without a body, authorities were not willing to move forward. The Tennessee Bureau of Investigation had named Tyler Mook a person of interest, but the case was stuck, and Tyler moved away. And then Tyler got in trouble with a woman in Florida.
I fought and fought and fought.
Listen to more of Tyler Mook's pocket dial call to 911 on Facebook at 48 Hours. It's been 6 long years since Shelley Mook disappeared.
Since then, Tyler Mook, her ex-husband, moved down here to the warm Florida coast to start over. The case of his missing ex-wife, Shelley, has gone cold.
Until this story took an unexpected turn. Tyler Mook had gotten himself into trouble, serious trouble. He attacked a woman in Florida on a boat.
He grabbed my sunglasses off my head and he grabbed my bathing suit like he was gonna rip my bathing suit.
The woman was Robin Donath, Tyler's on-again, off-again girlfriend.
And then finally he picked me up and he threw me over the side of the boat. That's when he jumped in behind me, turned me upside down, and was holding me under. And I fought and fought, just trying to find bottom, trying to find anything.
The attack happened on Tyler's speedboat, here on the Intracoastal Waterway. Tyler and his brother Andrew and their girlfriends were out for some fun in the sun. Robin says she had been late to the party, and that made Tyler mad. He was racing his boat through go slow zones, and when she started complaining, he got angrier.
I just kept telling him, slow down. I said, you're gonna hit a sandbar and kill us all.
Tyler really lost his temper. He stopped the boat and threw her off. Then he dived in on top of her.
And I was just begging him and just pleading him to please let me go. I just screamed, Andrew, please help me.
She was screaming, he's trying to kill me, help me, let me on your boat.
Dylan Wedgwood and Giuliano Garcia were out on a boat with friends, cruising down the Florida Intracoastal when they came upon an unusual scene.
What did you see?
We saw two people in the water and she was just frantically splashing around.
Should people be in this water? I mean, it's kind of murky, it's dark, it's It's a mess.
It's uncommon for you to be swimming up against the mangroves where you can't get to shore if anything does happen. And she was frantically splashing and swimming up to our boat. And we got her to the back of the boat, put down the ladder, and got her in right away. And then he started freaking out and, like, yelling. And she was back here crying.
He was freaking out at you two?
Yeah.
Kind of at everyone, yeah.
He just looked extremely pissed off.
Giuliano and Dylan took Robin back to the dock. A police officer happened to be there. When Robin told the cop Tyler tried to drown her, Tyler was arrested and eventually charged with attempted murder. Surprisingly, Robin says he wasn't violent when they began dating.
Very charming, like a perfect guy, pretty much.
They were introduced by a friend and hit it off right away.
Hi, I'm Tyler. And I said, hi, I'm Robin. And we were together every single day. He filled the void of a guy that I needed.
But Robin was curious about Tyler. And after a couple of months of dating, she Googled him.
His ex-wife was missing, and he was the main person of interest. He was the last one to see her. And he just said, don't believe anything that you see on the internet. None of it's true. And he just pretty much told me that she was dating a guy overseas or something, and he thinks that she just left and went overseas.
Robin says she was skeptical of Tyler's story and a little freaked out when she saw Shelley's photograph.
She resembled me. Blonde hair, around the same age. Pretty.
Down in Florida, Robin wasn't the only woman who found Tyler charming.
And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. And I was like,
Erica
no,
Tucker and
no
her
way.
Fiance like, met Tyler me. Through work, and the couple ended up spending a lot of time with him.
The first question that he always had was regarding, how are your children? How are the kids doing, Erica? And I always thought that was very nice of him.
One day, she too found out he was suspected in the disappearance of his ex-wife.
I said, Tyler, like, did you do that?
You asked him that.
I did. And he looked at me and he said, no, I didn't do that. He goes, you know me, Erica. Do you think I would do something like that? I didn't do that.
Even Erica's friends seemed okay with Tyler.
And so my best friend was coming over, and she was like, Erica, which one is the one that they think is, you know, the murderer? And I was like, Tyler, the tall, handsome one. And she was like, get out. He was the nicest person here.
Let's fast forward to the incident here in Florida.
Mm-hmm. I was scrolling through Facebook, and somebody shared a link, and I was like, holy goodness. And I was like, honey, you got to see this. This is, you know, Tyler was arrested for doing this.
You knew they had a volatile relationship.
They would break up and get back together, break up and get back together. And I knew that they would have arguments between them.
But when she claimed he tried to kill her, what was your reaction?
I was shocked. I was shocked.
But what shocked Erica Tucker more was the severity of the charges.
He grabs a hold of Robin and he holds her down under the water.
Tyler Mook stood accused of attempted murder.
Boat that day will tell you that the defendant picked his girlfriend Robin Doniff up, threw her into the water, jumped in after her, he held her underwater.
They're going to try and establish that he had a conscious intent to kill.
2 years after the incident, Tyler Mook goes on trial.
They're going to try and establish that he had a premeditated design to effectuate the death of Robin Doniff.
What happened that day in that water wasn't a game. It wasn't a splash in the water. The defendant attempted to murder Robin Doniff.
And it's our position that there's just insufficient evidence to establish that under the facts of this case.
The evidence will show you that the defendant is guilty as charged. Thank you.
Prosecutors were forbidden from telling the jury that Tyler Mook was a person of interest in his ex-wife's disappearance, because under Florida state law, that critical piece of information was simply inadmissible in court.
McDonough, for the record, state your name again, please.
Robin Donneth.
Did you two think someone was trying to kill her?
I think the way she was acting, somebody was definitely trying to hurt her or do something like that bad
to
her.
She seemed to be as in danger.
How are you fighting him to get up?
Just trying to push away from him and just trying to get away from him with my hands.
Robin says that after an outraged Tyler threw her in the water, the terror continued.
He jumped in right behind me and grabbed me right away. He turned me face down and held me under the first time.
And then it happened again?
Yeah, I got up and I got one really quick gasp of air and then he pushed me right back under.
So the second time, did he spin you around?
No.
And you thought you were going to die at the hands of Tyler Mook, correct?
Yes.
So when you got up the second time, you got away from him and you were able to start yelling for help, correct?
No, I was just begging him and pleading him just to let me go.
Under subpoena, Tyler's own brother, Andrew Mook, is forced to testify against him.
Would it be fair to say that you don't want to be here today?
That is correct.
As Tyler and Andrew's anxious parents sit just a few feet away, Andrew says he witnessed Tyler throw Robin overboard.
Do you recall if she said anything when she came up?
She yelled for me. He's trying to kill me.
Responding to Robin's pleas for help, Andrew says he jumped into the water and wrestled Robin from Tyler's arms.
What did you do towards your brother?
Put him in a chokehold.
Okay, when you say you put him in a chokehold, using me, tell me what you did. Okay, and when you did that, what happened?
He let go of her, swam back to the boat.
Nicole Guajardo, Andrew's girlfriend, who watched this terrifying scene unfurl from the back seat of the boat, remembers Tyler's chilling words.
He looks at me and says, "No one disrespects me in front of my family, I'll kill her."
The evidence is not going to suggest that he should win any awards for Boyfriend of the Month or get on the cover of Gentleman's Quarterly. He was wrong.
Mook's defense attorney, Arthur Marchetta, never put Tyler himself on the stand, and he argued there's just no evidence of attempted murder.
When you hear what happened, it just doesn't seem to make sense. Robin was able to yell for help. Robin was able to scream for the other boat. She didn't need mouth-to-mouth. She didn't need to be resuscitated. She didn't need CPR. She got back on the other boat.
If Tyler Mook was guilty of anything, says his lawyer, it was of behaving badly.
So he throws her in the water. It's not as if he threw her into the rocks or threw her into the trees or into the mangroves. He threw her into the water as if he's throwing her into a pool.
Robin was drowning. Robin was fighting for her life. He doesn't stop there either.
After 3 days in court, the trial was over.
What he did was moronic. What he did was probably wrong and rude, but not criminal. Not an attempt to kill. I'm asking you to find him not guilty. It's not an attempt to kill.
Hear more from Robin Dunneth at 48hours.com.
Verdict. We, the jury, find the defendant, Tyler Mook, guilty of attempted second-degree murder.
Tyler Mook is found guilty of second-degree attempted murder.
I think I probably started crying a little bit. Just happy, I guess, that he was convicted of what he deserved.
Mook is sentenced to 12 years.
And just happy that he's gonna stay away from me.
With Tyler in jail for a violent crime against his girlfriend, what will this mean for Shelley's case back in Tennessee?
How did you react to the news that Tyler had been arrested for attempting to kill his new girlfriend?
Knowing what I did about Tyler's violent temper, his controlling nature, it didn't surprise me. What did surprise me is learning that Andrew stepped in and basically saved Ms. Donath's life.
Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give?
Why did that surprise you?
Primarily because of the lack of involvement in locating Shelley and learning what happened to her up here.
Do any of the family members hold the keys to this case?
All I can do is guess at that, but it would be hard for me to believe after listening to the 911 call.
They can't prove nothing. And they know that there's a better chance of me leaving. They will.
So, Mom, they want to come arrest you. Don't worry. All they got to do is call the
line. That no one had a clue what was going on.
Would it surprise you that his family would do anything to protect him?
No, absolutely not. I think his family would go to the end of the earth to protect him, no matter what it took.
Brittany Brooks stood up for her friend Shelley. But throughout 48 hours investigation...
Do you solemnly swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Before and after Tyler Mook's trial, we have reached out to Tyler, his family.
And you would lie for him to keep him out of the penitentiary?
No, sir.
And past and present lawyers. No one has been willing to defend Tyler. No one except his friend, Erica Tucker.
When you hear about everything in Tennessee, it's scary and it's very upsetting, I think, for everybody involved in this. However, I also know that he hasn't been charged with anything regarding Shelley. I decided in my heart that I will never know the answer or the truth, and I am not here to judge him.
Erica, his parents haven't talked to us. His brother hasn't. Mm-hmm. His brother's girlfriend. No other friends. You're the lone person who stands out and who is, in essence, defending his honor. What is it about him that has so struck you in a way that you see good in him?
I think what struck my heart the most is he has a daughter. And when Tyler would talk to me, he would talk to me and address me about my children. And I remember he had a lot of sadness that he never got to see his daughter. And I remember saying to him one time, at least in the future, even if you can't see her now, one day you can show her that you've been trying to.
But Tyler Mook will have to keep trying. Remember, a court in Tennessee had given custody of Lily to Shelley's family. Tyler's family appealed that, but they lost. The court said that Mook was, quote, unfit to parent the child because of his history of domestic violence and the danger from exposure to the father's drug activities. The court also slammed him for consistently taking the fifth during his testimony. The court wrote, ordinarily, a party seeking custody of his child would testify of his love for his child, his activities for his child, and his plans. Well, in this case, the father did not testify for his love for Lily. Where are you taking me?
We are going to a cell tower in Beech Grove, Tennessee.
A cell tower?
Yes.
Meantime, investigator Kevin Keel is not giving up. He's working the case pro bono. He hopes, at least, to find Shelley's body.
And what is the significance of this particular cell tower?
This particular cell tower is the last tower that had any communication at all with Shelley's cell phone on the day of her disappearance.
That's the cell tower up there.
Now, that's the cell tower that her phone last pinged.
So how would that have happened?
About 7:30 p.m. Now, that was several hours after she was supposed to have last been seen.
What would she be doing here?
That's a good question. I personally don't think she was here, at least voluntarily.
So Tyler has been convicted now of second degree attempted murder.
It certainly makes the world a safer place for women, I think. Robin Donath got justice. Shelley has not.
And Lily either.
I hate the thought of having that little girl grow up thinking my mother abandoned me. Did she not love me? Did she not want me? Why did she leave me? Why didn't she say bye to me? Those are all valid questions that that child has to deal with and has dealt with every day since February 28, 2011. And I think she deserves some measure of closure and justice.
Mook remains a person of interest in the disappearance of his ex-wife. Shelley and Tyler's daughter, Lily, still lives with Shelley's mom.
Critically acclaimed series, Cullen from Accounts, returns for a brand new season.
You proposed to me drunk out of nowhere at my best friend's wedding.
I was being spontaneous.
You didn't have a ring. It was embarrassing.
All episodes streaming September 10th.
Still, will they? Won't they? Who cares?
But what is it?
We're friends.
We are togetherly.
We're friendly together.
With a dog.
Cullen from Accounts, new season streaming September 10th, only on Paramount+.